certainly came for a good reason. The reason was to remember our Lord and Savior. I will say all the time, there's one main focus in life, and that's on the one who died for our sins. Without His death, we would have no hope. Without His death, we would not have all these exceedingly great and precious promises that we have. We concentrate on Him. When we come together, we actually set aside a time that He has asked us to do that and has told us to do that. And when I say ask, because we don't have to. We could violate what He says, but we want to. And so He has commanded it, but we came together so that we could remember that death on the cross. When we think about that and we think about ourselves, one of the things was last year, others talked about it, and Cody had preached a lesson about spiritual goals, and then Cal and I finished up the year with some spiritual goals that we have as a congregation, things that we've planned here and things we continue to plan, and we pray about those things. And don't forget, the last Wednesday of this month, we will be extending prayers to God as a congregation throughout the whole assembly. So please, if you've got some things you would like to pray for, I don't know about the rest of you, but I just as an aside, I was thinking the other day and remembered things that we had prayed for and remembered how many of them had been answered. It is amazing. Whether you believe, and we do, believe that God had a hand in that, every one of us does, but some people don't. But I think we've got proof positive that when we talk to God and we do plead with Him as His people, He answers our prayers. So, we set those goals, but as individuals, and I know that Cody talked a lot about this in the lesson that he taught, we need to do that. But like he pointed out, they have to be according to God's Word. Like Kyle and I pointed out, you can't have goals that you cannot say are authorized. But everything we do is goal-based. There's not a thing in life. I mean, you think about life, and last year now, didn't start necessarily last year, but Kyle and Jenna wanted to have a child. And one of them worked really hard on that. The other one had a little part to play in it, but the other one worked really, really hard on that, and I know Kyle was there with her through the whole thing, but it is something for a woman to carry a child for that amount of time. God blessed him with that goal. Mark, and I meant to put this on the announcements again this morning, I apologize for this, but whoever leads us in prayer again, he asked that we continue to pray that he can get a job closer to home. He needs that. It would be good for his family, it'd be good for him. He set that goal. But he believes that he needs God's assistance with that, so he asked for prayers. Now, when it comes to growing in the grace, we need to set some goals. So, what are some things we should grow in from God's Word that would benefit us greatly this next year? Well, we're going to take a passage of Scripture. Now, we're going to talk about other passages of Scripture, but one in particular. And we're going to try to learn, make some application of this. And I hope it encourages every one of us. And in 2 Peter 1, 1 through 15, this New King James Version, you may have a different version, but you will see some slight variations, not many. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control or temperance. To self-control or temperance, perseverance or patience. To perseverance / patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is blind or short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling or call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. What do we do a lot in the Lord's church? We remind. Do people know a lot of the things we're about to talk about today? Absolutely. But the problem is we need to be reminded of them. I will guarantee you that every parent in this room reminded their children over and over, and their children would go, I know that. Yeah, but I just wanted to remind you. How many times do we say that? I just wanted to remind you. Why? Because we were concerned that they might have not forgotten, but willfully did not want to know. As a friend of mine said the other day, he said he just struggles sometimes hearing his wife when he doesn't want to hear her. Isn't that amazing how when we have selective hearing, now there's some of us, it's not selective. We just flat out can't hear as good as we used to, but it is one of those things where sometimes that's true. So we're going to talk about spiritual growth. We're going to talk about it from this passage of Scripture. It's a new year. We need to be reminded of these things. We need to think about them. First part we're going to talk about is grace and peace. I'm going to repeat some of these over and over. Reminders. Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When we think about having a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, we're grateful for that knowledge. But sometimes we don't realize, where did we get that knowledge? How did we obtain that knowledge? Who gave us that knowledge? It's His divine power. In and of myself, you throw me anywhere else, I have no idea. I've told people before, I don't know how to live. I've had people tell me, well, we would figure it out. Yeah, well, go to a country where, for the most part, it's barbaric and they have no concepts of how they should live. And you know what? They don't live this way. They believe it's every person for themselves. They believe that each person has a right to make their own rules. Or you have a government that makes those rules and makes them do what they want. And if you don't do what we want, we'll kill you. Look in the Bible. Look at history. Look at all of this. Everywhere where there is the divine nature is not accepted as the one where we get this knowledge, this is the way it works. And what is it we get? What did the divine nature give us? Well, they gave us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I have a question for you. What else do you need? Well, people say, but wait, it doesn't tell us about everything. I will argue it tells us about everything we need for salvation and for getting to heaven. There's not one thing missing. Oh, but Abe, you know, there's some things in there. It doesn't tell me how to wash my hands. I have heard this foolishness all my life. I'll tell you what, you can go into God's Word and it'll tell you about things about how you are to be clean and how you're to take care of things. And the most important thing we need to keep clean is not the physical body. And He points that out. He makes a difference between the physical and the spiritual. But He would also tell us as Christians we need to act and dress modestly. That would tell us I need to keep clean. It does tell me about that. Oh, the water faucet I go to, are just craziness when people discuss things like that. Well, how did I get this? Well, it's through a knowledge of Him. Who? Well, of Jesus Christ. And you're going to go, well, the Old Testament, they didn't have it. Yes, they did. In prophecy, they could know about our Lord and Savior. They could look forward to His coming. They knew that God was going to take care of their sins if they believed God. That's where they got their knowledge. And when did all of this come about? When He called us by glory and virtue. You see, He didn't just call us, but He called us by glory and virtue to a higher standard of living, to a highness that puts us where we can become sons of God, children of God, where we can know what moral excellence is, where we can understand and know. And how would we possibly do that? Well, let's pick out Job. Well, that won't work. Let's pick out Abraham. That won't work either. We only have one example of perfection in the Bible, of a human being who lived perfection. That was Jesus Christ. I need to look to Him. Are these other examples good? Absolutely. But it is His glory and His moral excellence that is the standard I need to be set. And that's what called me. I wasn't called by Moses. I wasn't called by Abraham. I was called by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about how that all worked at the end of the lesson. Now, where do we receive all of these things? Where do we get them? Well, it's through the blessings we get. Do you remember what we read? All these exceedingly great and precious promises that come with this. You see, it's wonderful that we know how to live. But there's more to it than that. We receive, as the Hebrew writer says, all these more excellent things as a result of our knowledge of Him. And it all goes back to Him. What we receive is exceedingly great and precious promises. In 1 Corinthians 2, he would talk about things that are beyond our understanding He has promised to us. Things we cannot fully understand. There's not a person in this room can tell me what heaven looks like and what we get completely there. We don't know. But we know it's great and it's beyond anything we could possibly understand. But in addition to that, while on this earth, I've received those promises. While on this earth, I can become partakers of the divine nature. I can become more like God rather than more like a human. I can, as Paul said, totally change my life. And he said, we don't think of Him that way anymore. We need to think beyond that. We don't look at each other that way. And in addition to that, what else did I gain through doing this? I've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How did I do that? Because I figured it out? No. No. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of the life, are not of the Father but of the world, and the world passes away in the lust thereof. Those things are going away. Those things are going away in 1 John 2. So when we go back to this passage of Scripture, he says, now this is what you really need to look at. Is this an all-inclusive list of everything we're to do? No. Is this, though, the foundation and the basis of all? And yes, it is. You look at these things and you're going to see as we study these from various aspects today, and I hope get a different thought process about this. Maybe I can bring it out just a little different so that when you go home, I know you've studied this before, but maybe, just maybe, it'll help every one of us because it's helped me when I studied this. Giving all diligence, that's the start of it. Add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, love. That's quite a mouthful. Those are a lifetime. That's spiritual growth. But it is not spiritual growth in that I have all of those things. Spiritual growth is being able to supplement them all the time and build on each one of them all my life. It's not an order of how this works. My faith did not come before my knowledge. You see, this is not an order of, I need my faith first and then I'm going to live right. I wouldn't know how to live right. We already talked about this. It's from our knowledge of God's Word. In these first few verses, he used the word knowledge four times. Four times. He's trying to get across a point here. It's on the matter of knowing. Knowing. It's gnosis. Now, epignosis would say it's even more than that, but this is that word. So, giving all diligence. Question. You want to lose weight. What do? Well, you give all diligence to doing things that would cause you to lose weight, right? You figure out what that will work, and you give your life to that. That's what it's talking about. You're giving it all. He said, put all of your effort into this. Put all your effort into this. Into what? Well, that word, add, that's translated a lot of times. You'll find in English Standard Version some others, like I think it says maybe supplement. Others will say the word means, when used in other occasions, means to minister to or minister or support. You know what all those are? Every one of them is saying, with each one of these, you keep building on them. You keep building on every one of them. You remember, for instance, on the first one about faith, you remember what the disciples came to Jesus and said? Increase our faith. Can your faith be increased? Absolutely. Does it get stronger every day and better? If your faith's going the other way, when it's attacked, you're not going the right direction. You're not supplementing it every day. You're not taking those supplements that help you with your diet. You're not doing them. All of these things. You see, every one of them has to be with. And actually, I could have put love and went right back, love with faith. Just keep going in a circle here. It's circular. Keep doing these things. Every one of them. Which one's important? Every one of them. This is the basis of everything that will take us where we need to go. He said it, I didn't. So, giving all diligence to what? What am I giving all diligence to? Well, let's talk about faith. Faith. Faith is an important thing. When we think of faith, it is the basis of what anyone does. People go, no, that's some religious term. No, it's not. It is not at all. All it means is that you're strongly convinced of something. That you actually live your life. Do you know people who are strongly convinced that nature is the most important thing in the world? And that if nature goes away, we lose everything that we have. And I just cannot believe that you would cut a tree down. I cannot believe you would... I'm thinking, they eat something. they really don't, but that's just me an aside. But they have total faith in nature. They believe that is their God. That is what they need to take care of. And without nature, the world is just, it'll go into chaos. And so, people believe in things. But what we would say is, faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, what they're looking for is what they can get in this life. That's what they're hoping for. That's their faith. And the evidence of things not seen. Guess what? They don't see those things either that are produced by nature. They see the results of them. But they cannot see all of those things that make up all the things that we have. Now, to us, it's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence not seen, of things not seen after this life and in this life. I cannot see those things today, but I believe them with all my heart. And in verse 3, by faith, we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The invisible made the visible to our eyesight. He's not invisible, but He is to us. How about virtue? Well, virtue means just moral goodness, moral excellence, purity. You'll see it lots of times maybe translated that way. And what we find with this is that it is such an important part of our life that we change our life. You find in 1 Peter 3 about a wife who's married to a non-Christian. We find that when that non-Christian observes their chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just say, that's good enough. He explains it. Do not let it be the outward adorning. Don't let it be that. Don't let that be just what the other person sees. That would be true of all of us. He's saying your life has to totally change. It's an inside out, not an outside in. You need to change yourself inside so that your outside says that. And so when we look at this, let it be the hidden person of the heart. That's what moral excellence is. It causes each one of us to totally change our lives in such a way that we have some effect on other people around us. They know we are different. How about knowledge? The word knowledge can be translated lots of different ways. As we talked about words this morning, it's a context thing. But it always means along this line. It's intelligence, it's understanding, it's moral wisdom sometimes. But what we would argue is when used in conjunction with spiritual growth, it means things that are lawful or unlawful for Christians. It is correct insight. So I have to look for that. In Philippians 3:8, he told them that this is something that's very important, Paul did. When we look at Philippians 3:8, He said, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of things of this world. And so I've got a tremendous knowledge of things of this world, like Solomon did, and I'm really happy with that, and that's not what he said. The most important thing, this is a well-educated man, Paul. He knows a lot. And he says, I count all of those things but loss. I count my heritage as loss. I count my being a Pharisee as loss. I count all of those things as nothing for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. When we have a true knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ His Son, everything else becomes rubbish. We live our lives in such a way that it's centered around what He says, and we understand that. And if we lost it all like Job did, we say, praise be to God, I will continue to live my life as an example to others of how you should live. Then he talks about self-control or temperance. It just means mastering oneself. You get to the point where you can discipline yourself. You say to yourself, I will control myself on this, but I want to do that. This is this internal struggle we all have. But I really want to do that. And you say, no. No, it's not for my good. It's not for my good. Galatians 5:23, it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. Those are all fruit of the Spirit, but it is one of them. Self-control. Self-control is a difficult thing. What am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be persevering. This means patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastly waiting for, making it through trials. How is that possible? Well, he tells us in Romans how it's possible. That it's actually, Abe, just the opposite of what you really want and what you really think. You shelter someone, they don't know anything about the world. And you throw them out in the world, they're just totally lost. He said, that's not the way I do things. What I'm going to do to you is, I am going to, Abe, put you through some things. And he said, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. How did Job's patience get better? Why did God allow that to happen? Because He wanted him to grow in that. His spiritual growth over that period of time was tremendous. And his patience was there. Why? Because he went through tribulation. Very, very difficult, by the way, tribulation. This is what it produces. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. He said, you want this, this is the way it works. You never put yourself through anything. You never put yourself out there. I tell people all the time, give me a hard time on anything. I want to get better, not worse. I want to be able to prove what I believe. Godliness. Godliness is the word that is difficult for us. I've heard people say God-likeness, but that's really not the true meaning according to most. It's just reverence and respect. It's piety toward God. But that would be then include reverent, being a reverent character toward both God and man. What it says is that I have respect. Absolute respect for God. And so in 1 Timothy 4, my respect must be such that I have to be very careful how I approach God and what I say about God and how then I would treat my fellow man. In 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself to godliness. He said, you want some good exercise? You want to take off, excuse me, I'm going to say this, the spiritual fat? Get some exercise. Exercise yourself to godliness. Well, how does that compare? For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. How important is it? It's so important that it not only does something for me here, but it gets me to where I want to be. So why wouldn't I supplement this in my diet every day? Why wouldn't I do something that is godliness every day? How about brotherly kindness? Well, that just simply means love for brother and sister. And we see this all the time. It's the word Philadelphia. But when we look at it, it just means how I treat usually family. But now I've got a new family. My new family is my brothers and sisters in Christ and my mothers and fathers in Christ. I don't have as much of them anymore. I'm getting to be that age. My children in Christ. And it's all of that. And so in Romans 12:10, he would say, we need to make sure that this brotherly love is in our life. We have to make sure that we're kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now, what's the difference between that one and the next one used? Well, this is a higher love. We talk about it, various words that we may use, agapeo and things like that, but it's goodwill toward all. It is not just having this warm feeling towards you and just wishing you well. This is making sure that I put you first. It's making sure that I do things toward you. It's wanting what is best even for those who do not love us. But the best that I could, scripture that I thought of, and this just me, you could come up with a lot more, I'm sure, but in 1 John 3:16, we think of John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 says this, by this we know love. You want to know what love is? He said, now this is a true love right here. Because He laid down His life for us. So I can know that. But now how then do I demonstrate that? Well, this is how He says, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, that's strong. That means I put myself out there. I don't want to. I'm selfish. This is just not a nature that I have, right? He said, change that. Work on that every day. Supplement it every day. Put yourself out there. Do things for others that you wouldn't even want to. Do things for people you can't stand. See, you work this and it gets better all the time. I mean, who do you become more like? What's this all about? Become more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think of these things, they are so important. We're going to continue this and then we're going to talk about, I guess you already know this, it's who, what, when, where thing. So we're going to do that, and we're going to make this more personal to us, I hope, and make it better. But let me make it personal to you right now. You have knowledge. You understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You understand it, and you go, well, that's good. I'm glad He did. And a lot of people end it there, and they think that things are fine. But He said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. Now that's love. You see, you'll put yourself out there, you'll do what's best. In this case, for you, you'll keep My commandments. Watch His commandments. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go into all the world and preach that, He said. And He said, repentance and remission of sins would be preached in His name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And He was totally right. Repentance and remission of sins was preached. How did Peter preach that? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. But then as Christians, we need to do the same thing. We need to make it so that we do His commandments. If you have any needs, would you let us know while together we stand and sing?